research. Brain donations give researchers a vital insight into PSP and CBD. Brain banks have greatly contributed to scientific discoveries and breakthroughs in recent years, serving as a vital resource for researchers seeking to better understand PSP and CBD. Dr. Annalise Quagubur leads a research team studying PSP, CBD, and related diseases, and is also a neuropathologist and the research director of the Cambridge Brain Bank. The Cambridge Brain Bank receives around 50 brains from voluntary donors every year, and have hundreds of brains available for researchers studying PSP, CBD, and other neurodegenerative diseases. Annalise says, "To understand complex diseases like PSP and CBD, it is essential to examine brain tissue from people who lived with the disease. By studying tissue samples under the microscope, we gain detailed information about which brain processes are affected. I am incredibly grateful to all people living with the disease and their families who choose to donate their brain to research. It is the most generous gift, as it will help us discover new and improved approaches for prevention, screening, and treatment." Linda Outlaw has recently completed the paperwork to donate her brain to King's College London. Initially, she wanted to donate her entire body to research, but after discussing it with her partner Bruce, she decided to donate her brain. Bruce said, "Last month we were at a carers meeting where a funeral director was talking about things to consider to ensure your wishes are known when you die. Linda and I shared our funeral wishes, and that is when Linda told me that she wanted to donate her body to science. I felt uncomfortable about it and suggested she donate her brain instead, because that will be the bit researchers will be most interested in. I contacted PSPA and spoke to Deborah on the helpline. Deborah provided me with a list of brain banks, and I contacted King's College London, who take brains from all over the country. King's sent us some documentation, and we went from there. Linda spoke to her son and daughter about it, so everyone in the family is aware. By looking at the brain, researchers are able to confirm the diagnosis of PSP or CBD, as well as learn more about the conditions." Annalise said, "As a neuropathologist, I'm responsible for making a diagnosis on the brain tissue coming from a patient with a neurological disease by examining the tissue under the microscope. Many diseases, such as PSP and especially CBD, can only be diagnosed with certainty under the microscope. A lot of what we know about how the brain works has come from animal studies, and we have learnt a great deal so far. We can model certain diseases in laboratory animals. However, these models never fully recapitulate the diseases in humans, which tend to be much more complex and affect processes that are unique to people, such as thinking. A drug that works in a mouse does not necessarily work in people. As a result, there has been a surge in demand to use human brain tissue samples to identify the processes that play a role in disease. Brain banks like ours are crucial to support this work. With our dedicated team at the Cambridge Brain Bank, we work hard to ensure that this precious gift of tissue is preserved and used in the best possible way. The brains are processed in several ways, so they can be used in a wide range of research techniques. Half of the brain is preserved in formalin, a solution that preserves biological tissue, so they can be handled more easily and stored over a longer term. Researchers from all over the world can request tissue samples from our brain bank. It is fantastic to see how more and more researchers join forces in finding new ways to understand and treat PSP and CBD. Often, the most progress is made by studying a disease from multiple perspectives. Annalise's team uses post-mortem brain tissue to study microglia and synapses in PSP and CBD, investigating how these processes are linked in driving the disease and how findings in tissue compare with tests done during life. Annalise explains, "Microglia are the brain's primary immune cells. Their job is to clear away an intruder or infection. However, in chronic diseases like neurodegeneration, animal models show that microglia can become overactive, attacking the nerve connections, or synapses, which leads to the progressive degeneration of nerve cells. It's critical to study this in human tissue as well, since microglia in humans differ significantly from those in mice. Microglia are now considered a very promising target for therapies, but effective treatment requires a deeper understanding of the molecules driving the diverse roles of microglia in disease. Annalise noted, "Microglia are complex cells with many functions. They respond to disease in different ways, and it's important to discern which responses are beneficial and which might harm the brain. Our research aims to identify the molecular fingerprints of these microglia using advanced technologies on brain tissue from PSP and CBD donors." Annalise and her team are also studying tissue to validate tests that are done during life in people with PSP and CBD to measure inflammation and synapses. Annalise said, "For synapses and inflammation to be viable targets in clinical trials, we need ways to monitor them in living people. Special scans and blood tests have been developed, but we need better understanding of what these tests reflect. We are measuring in detail the loss of synapses and overactive immune cells in the brain tissue donated by volunteers with PSP who underwent special scans during life to measure synapses and inflammation respectively. We work closely with clinical researchers to compare our tissue findings with the results of the tests during life. The good news is that these studies are progressing well and will help us understand how these scans can be used to test new treatments. We are very fortunate that more and more patients get involved in research and are choosing to donate their brains to research. Increasingly, we are receiving brain donations from patients treated throughout their disease progression at clinics in Cambridge, including those who participated in studies. This allows us to correlate what we observe in tissue samples with clinical data, including blood samples and brain scans taken while they were alive. This integration provides a much fuller picture of the disease in each individual, combining detailed tissue analysis with measures of disease during life." For Katie Taylor, her dad's decision to donate his brain has given the family something positive to focus on following his death from PSP. Peter had lived with the condition for around 4 years, but the family believe it was longer, but they weren't aware of PSP. He was cared for at home by his wife Pat until the very end. Katie said, "Dad was a fit and active man. He always wanted to help others, so it feels fitting that his final act was something that would benefit people living with PSP. When Dad was diagnosed with PSP, I read about brain donation. As a family, we discussed it. It was a difficult subject to approach, but Dad said, 'If this will help someone else going through this, then I would want to help them in any way I can.' After Dad died, I contacted the brain bank nearest to us. Phil, the brain bank coordinator, dealt with everything in such a calm yet efficient manner, taking some of the pressure off me. He arranged everything with the funeral directors. It all had to be completed within 7 days, so it felt like a bit of a rush. I'd advise anyone considering brain donation to complete the paperwork prior to death to make things a little easier." The funeral directors took Dad to our nearest hospital where he had the procedure. It was fairly quick, and within an hour he was back at the funeral home. After Dad's funeral, Phil called to explain how Dad's brain would be used in the research they're doing in Manchester. He also shared how researchers all over the world could request samples of brain, meaning some could end up in Japan or USA. I think Dad would be really proud of that. Dad suffered a lot during his illness. Having donated his brain has helped us all as a family, that he didn't suffer in vain, that it was to help others. It's given us something positive to focus on. Bruce and Linda also see the donation as a way to do something positive. Bruce said, "It's hard to see Linda deteriorate with PSP. She was always so active and lively. We met after we were both widowed. We have a background of loss and have always focused on doing something positive. For many years, we were active fundraisers for a blood cancer charity. For Linda, donating her brain represents another positive action taken in the face of loss. We are all very proud of her." If you decide to donate your brain tissue for use in research, It's best to ensure that your wishes are known to your family and others involved in your care. Please visit www.pspassociation.org.uk and search for brain donation, or call our helpline on 0300 0110 122.